Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? It's wonderful. Oh, well, you're welcome. You're very welcome. An interactive audience. I like that. You know, I actually drove in from Ohio, Northwest Ohio, this morning because, longer story, but I drove in and I, on the way here, listened to K-Love Radio a little bit on the way, and then this R&B station in Fort Wayne that switches was actually kind of a gospel this morning, and that was great, so I didn't switch the station, kind of stayed in there. And then as that faded out, I got into Moody Radio. So I've been in church for a number of hours already. If you and diverse church, rich, I've already heard a couple of sermons, so I apologize ahead of time if I get annoyed with me up here. It's because I'm already like three sermons in. So stick with me. I hope for it to be moving along. A few goals here. One of them, whenever I speak, I'm hoping I can get you to laugh and cry this morning. Maybe that will downshift that to a snicker and a thoughtful pause by the end of the service. I am appreciative of Lisa and Matt, who've both spoken up at Taylor and done a great job in our chapel, and for this invitation. I know there's some connections at Taylor and students that kind of come and go in their time at Taylor. So I'm grateful that this is a place that our students can land and be cared for, and be known and have good teaching. So that's a good thing to know that there are churches that exist, and I'm thankful for you all for being one of those communities for our students that are spoken of highly throughout my 17 years at Taylor. About a week ago in the morning, I woke up at a friend's house in their guest bathroom, not feeling well, about 3 a.m. Trust we're friends. We can start off candidly. This morning, about 3 a.m., I had these illusions of Michael Jordan's flu game. And I thought, I'm going to be fine. About 5 a.m., as I'm sitting on the toilet with a way too nice wastebasket in my lap, I realized this is not the NBA Finals, and I am not Michael Jordan, so thank you, Lisa, for covering last week and doing that and for bumping the schedule back. I trust, and it's been my prayer with this, is like, you know, stuff happens in our lives and all those things. I have no idea. I have no idea who's here this morning that wasn't going to be here last Sunday or, you know, who skipped. I have no idea where that's at. I just know that I have a chance to kind of talk through this with you all and appreciate God's presence as we work through this. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've been at Taylor for 17 years, as Lisa said that. Worked in residence life. I was at a few churches before then. And then I've been campus pastor for the last 8 years. I stepped away from that role last year because I've been in the process of pursuing a master's in counseling. And so as I'm doing my practicum this year, and then my family, we're moving to Ohio. And so that happened a little bit faster. Let me show you the picture, if we could bring up that first slide. I think this is my family. This is my wife, Kara, and our daughters, Phoebe and Hattie. Phoebe is 14, Hattie is 8. As you can see, adoption is a huge part of our family story, so if you want to pick my brain to talk about that, it's not our content today, but I always, you know, with our family, we find ourselves talking about it all the time. Another part of our family recently is an addition, contrary to what I would recommend, is getting another dog in the process of me moving back and forth. The dog on the left is Mac. The dog on the right is Dolly. Dolly we got from the Humane Society recently, and it, you know, it always seems like such a good idea, doesn't it? I'm thankful that as I am there 3 days a week, and then I come here, and I'm still working at Taylor through the end of May. But as I make that, I am thankful that my wife made this final decision to get Dolly, because she's the one that's taking care of circumstances, as we all know. So as we move into for our theme, what we're talking about for the next few weeks, and this is a chance to think about this topic of Made for Mondays. As Lisa explained, I'm in this career transition, moving from working in ministry, like campus ministry. I've served as in pastoral roles and doing that, and now I'm shifting into counseling. So as a part of that, I'm doing my practicum, like I said, in the counseling center at Taylor. My wife and daughters moved in November-ish to get started in a new school and to get started there. So I am driving in early on a Monday morning. It's about a two-hour drive to get to work. So I drive early on Monday morning, then I work through Thursday. And then I hop in the car Thursday and have a three-day weekend at home. It's the first time for our family where it's been kind of disjointed like this. And I'm thankful for so many people who've shared their stories and the, you know, mantras of you can do anything for a year as a family and some of those things that happen with transitions. The whole thing is creates hope in us. A lot of things have gone smoothly. A lot of things have gone well. And it is a move towards what is next. For me, as I think about this passage, it's unique. I get this unique exit ramp in my time at Taylor. Taylor's been really important to me, both in my personal life, professional life. I'm moving from a role where who I am and what I do is very, there's a lot of gray area, you know, from being in my family, being really involved, to moving into counseling, where there are much clearer boundaries of connection with people. And so I was thinking about this, not this Monday, this past Monday in anticipation. I had my stuff done, and I'm thinking about this series, and I'm feeling this this thought of, man, is this a topic that's going to land? Usually I'm picking topics to do this. Is a unique experience to take a topic that is introducing it to a church. It's topical. It's not expository preaching, so this, you know, we don't have our stuff with that, but as we move into it, I'm thinking, what is it like for you? I don't know many here. And this thought of what is work? What is the thing that gets you thinking about your week ahead? And sometimes even creates that pit in your stomach. You know, I know it's strange to do this now, because for many of you that might start to work on a Monday morning, if that's your routine, it's sometime on Sunday. You start thinking about, oh, what's happening next? You know, and I want to think broadly about this in this passage. You may be a student, you may be retired, you may not work outside the home. There's a lot of ways, but sometimes our volunteer efforts, our involvement in church, a lot of these things that we've cared about, we've pursued, we've sought out these opportunities, somewhere along the way can be a challenge for us to have the right attitude engaging in those things. So in our time this morning, I hope to reestablish an understanding of what that time is and could be. And maybe, I don't know what your attitude is towards that. I've served in pastoral roles. So if you think it's tough for you to go, it's a double whammy when you're the pastor and you don't want to go to church. You know, when you find yourself stuck in that, like, oh, I have a bad attitude about this, and I really am feeling ashamed that I have a bad attitude about it, because I also know how important it is. And many of us have those roles. They can be responsibilities with family. They can be work that we have dedicated our lives to. We are experts and experienced, and yet that idea of going to do that is frustrating. I'm driving here a couple weeks ago on a Monday morning, kind of wrestling with these thoughts. And one of the things that has stuck out to me, I don't know if you, I think because I've worked with people and I do stuff, I really have this unhealthy connection to remodeling shows and how quickly things get done. I mean, they time lapse it through months of construction, but I get to go on this this like nice little curated emotional roller coaster, if you've ever done any remodeling, of this idea phase. The budget works out, the people show up, there's highlights, the weather's good, and maybe somewhere along the way there's a glitch of like, oh, we didn't know there was plumbing in that wall. Shoot. You know, awkward phone call, then we're good. You know, like all those things, you know, that's kind of and one of the shows that I binged on in the last couple years is Maine Cabin Masters. And so, okay, all right, good. Okay, so this is like this. I mean, I love the Mainer accent, so that kind of gets me pulled in. The crew that's there, it's family, it's siblings. One of the guys that's I like is a deadhead, so there's like some intrigue to that. They're also like in these amazingly gorgeous places, fixing up cabins that I think in my head, I could maybe afford that someday. Way different than like this like 9,000 square foot house with a huge pool. I'm like, not so much. But just some crappy little cabin? Come on, I got to find a way to get one of those and, you know, meet some guys that could fix this up, you know. And so I'm watching this. Well, this character Ryan on there has this phrase, and he says, don't let your Mondays ruin your Sunday. And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, is this going to land with this audience? Do you think about that? Do you get that pit in your stomach? And I'm thinking about this because I'm like, this kind of frustrates me because here's this guy who's working with a bunch of his friends, his brother-in-law, this crew of people who I'm like, you know, wanting to look on their website and get t-shirts to look like them. So they're like, there's these charismatic people who are in Maine fixing up cabins, and this is what they do. You know, this is the sort of thing that, you know, on a Wednesday after lunch, I'm thinking like, oh, I'd give anything to be with a few, you know, few friends and have on a pair of old jeans and be working on something, looking out over a lake. Like, that'd be a great thing to do. And I'm thinking, if he can have a grumpy attitude about that, then I can have a grumpy attitude about the things I gotta do, and maybe you can as well. And so as I'm driving here, I'm thinking, having some doubts, you know, some of those things that happen internally. And the drive to get here, it's in the grid, Northwest Ohio, so everything's a mile. You drive, and the person in front of me is going like 52, and this is like 6, you know, 5:30 in the morning. That's driving me crazy. And then they turn right, and then the person that turns right in front of them is going even slower. You know, and I've got this thing in my head, and like I put my location on Google Maps, and I know I love to shave 5 minutes before I get to 24. That's just in my head, okay? I know I can save 5 minutes in those like almost 10 miles. I was not doing it that day and was just grumpy the whole way. I remember listening to David Crowder came on, The Grave Robber, and I was completely annoyed by that. It just was like, and I love David Crowder, but that song, I'm just like, I don't get it, you know? And so as we're getting into this and I'm, you know, all of this is affecting this feeling of like, who are you and why do you think you can get in front of a room full of people and say something that's meaningful? And then I pull up, if you can pull up that next slide, I pull up turning left onto 69, and this is right in front of me. This is the license plate right in front of me. So I risked life and limb, which we were really standing still. So I really just had to figure out how to get my phone out and use it without my glasses on. I got this picture and I had this moment of like, get over yourself. Like, I don't see Maine license plates very often. And I'm not going to say it's that big a deal, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But for me, in that moment, it was like, you know what? Just like this guy says on this show, don't let your Mondays ruin your Sundays. Don't let whatever it is that you really care about, the way you want to live your life out, the way you want to live your faith out, don't let that spoil your worship. Let it be an extension of your worship. And I had that moment, and so I kind of bring that with you this morning as we get going, and I want to ask you these three questions. Here's the three questions I want to ask you. Well, the first one is this. What is our attitude towards work? I don't know what it is that you do. I don't know what it is that takes your time, your energy, your passion. But what is it that we do, and what is our attitude towards that? I want to start off in Genesis 2 because I think this passage, as I look through some of these passages that help us to shape our understanding of what it is to work and what it is to recognize that we are made for this idea of Mondays. In Genesis 2, this is a pre-fall description of what's happening. So we have creation that's happening. God is present. God is in the process of creating. And God, and this is the passage in Genesis 2. I'm going to read it for us. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth and when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted the garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of the land that is good, aromatic resin, onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. It's important to think about where this passage sits and this clear instruction of Adam to work the ground. It's beautiful to the eye, it's pleasing, it's good. But you see this first piece, this is pre-fall, that this is part of God's design. That there was something for Adam to do. As a matter of fact, it was written in and expected. In verse 5, it says there was an absence of humankind to work the ground. An expectation that what is needs to be shaped, needs to be cultivated. And that it is the responsibility of this human being in this place to do that. And that's the expectation. And in verse 15, it is reiterated to work the ground, to work it and take care of it. Now, as we move into Genesis 3 and original sin, we see there's consequences, but I think we can get confused. Often, people that go to work and they, you know, it's time to make the donuts and whatever that attitude is of going in to work, they come into it with a Genesis 3 attitude of the curse that you're experiencing. Because of this curse, the childbearing, the strife between husband and wife, the returning to dust, all those things. The other thing that happens is that the introduction of fear, the separation from God, those are parts of the curse. The toiling gets attributed this, and we think in this passage, that's often the attitude I can have going into something that should be a Genesis 2 attitude. The Genesis 2 attitude is, I'm made for this. I'm made to shape and cultivate this, whatever the sphere of influence happens to be around me at this time. I may need to move to another garden. I may need to seek other things out. This like understanding of vocation and calling, those are different, kind of different issues than what we're getting into this morning. But this idea for us as humans that we have a responsibility to shape that which is around us. So that first question is, what is your attitude towards work? What is my attitude towards work? Is it a Genesis 3 attitude of toil and suffering and frustration? Or is it a Genesis 2 of this is what we are created for? We are made to do this. The second question is this, is where is God? I think sometimes it's easy to get wrapped up in the physical world and what's happening around us. And I think that sense of what's happening around us physically is important. It gives us understanding of where we exist, what is real, what is important. For me, and a significant part of my own upbringing, I became a Christian when I was in high school. But as a seventh grader, I remember sitting in a First Presbyterian church that we didn't really attend very regularly, and I didn't have any desire to go. But I remember sitting in that church, and for some reason, on the Sunday morning and thinking back, I remember this feeling of wondering if God really was real. This big building, all these people, it must be important. Is God real? And I remember during a prayer thinking that and having this level of intensity to it. And I thought like, hey, God, if you're there, are you really there? The second I thought that, there was a clang in the radiator. You've heard a radiator clang before? And it's, if you haven't grown up with radiators, it's alarming. You know, I grew up in a four-stair home, okay? So this like radiator clang, I just remember instantly having goosebumps and being terrified to open my eyes. Because it didn't feel like a loving, it felt like a, hey kid, I'm here. You know, and I'm kind of begrudgingly letting you know that because come on, look at the pipes of this organ. Like, obviously I'm here, right? But I remember in my head not wanting to open my eyes and not wanting to look over because I had this feeling that God was right there with me. A book that's been meaningful for me in understanding this is Traveling Mercies by Anne Lamott, a pretty irreverent Christian, but pretty forthright, and she says some things that are have been really helpful for me in my faith, and one of these is on the presence. Part of her own conversion experience is this experience of Jesus being in the room, and she says this. She says, after a while, as I lay there, I became aware of someone with me. The feeling was so strong that I actually turned on the light for a moment to make sure no one was there. Of course, there wasn't, but after a while, in the dark again, I knew beyond any doubt it was Jesus. I felt him as surely as I feel my dog lying nearby as I write this. When you are stepping into whatever your work responsibilities, whatever your Mondays are, do you have the sense that God is right there with you? Do you have the sense that you are doing that work alongside God? And does the idea of his presence help you? There's a temptation to disintegrate what we're doing, to have our life, even our worship, and to have something that is so meaningful that takes up so much time, our Mondays, to be disconnected from those things that are important. This is important. This is an important principle here, and we see it throughout Scripture. This recognition of the importance of God's presence with people. In Psalm 121, one of my favorite psalms, the whole idea of it is this, hey, your God is not going to slumber or sleep. Your God's not going to, he's not going to sleep through this, and he's not even going to nap. Like, he is going to be present while this is happening. In verse 8, it says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. This communication to the people of God that God is not absent. God is present and continues to be present and will continue to be present for you. It's important enough in Matthew, in the first chapter of Matthew, we see this in Jesus' arrival, the incarnation, God with us, literally. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet in Isaiah earlier on. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in the incarnation, the principle of God the Father from the Old Testament, God the Father being present with us in person, in flesh. And at the conclusion, towards the end of John 16, we understand this where Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, for it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So we see this in the Father's presence. We see this in Jesus' presence on earth. We see this in the Holy Spirit, this presence of God who is with us. Some of you maybe know the Sky Gitani book with this whole understanding of our life as Christians in relationship to God. He goes through this idea of God can be over us. We can have life from God. We can live life for God. We can live life under God. But the premise is that we might live life with God. That it might not be a disconnection. And this goes back to this initial reaction to the fall. That this disconnection happened with God where there was intimacy and connection and then sin and then fear. And so working against what is present in our life, and that is the reality that disconnection can happen, and it's normal. But we have a chance to live out our faith with God. Skye says this in his book. He says, faith is the opposite of seeking control. It is surrendering control. It embraces the truth that control is an illusion. We never had it, and we never will. Rather than trying to overcome our fears by seeking more control, The solution offered by life with God is precisely the opposite. We overcome fear by surrendering control. But surrender is only possible if we have a total assurance that we are safe. We must be convinced that if we let go, we will be caught. This assurance only comes when we trust that our Heavenly Father desires to be with us and not let us fall. It seems like a simple concept to recognize, hey, God is at work with you. But when we see that it is rooted in our relationship with God, that is an extension of that, and that we can be anxious and we can want to control these things, and often, I don't know how you are, but we have responsibilities. We have things that people are counting on us for. Trying to navigate this idea, am I doing this? Is God doing this? I'm not really sure, but trying to understand what it is that you can faithfully do and serve as best you can in whatever your role is on that Monday, and knowing that God is right there along with you doing that. I'm not sure how your work is, but if you are spending time there, you likely care. And if you care, there's moments when you know that you're not doing it as well as you'd like to. For me, to think that God is present and cares about what I'm doing, recognizes that this is my act of worship as best I can, is meaningful. So for you, I'm not sure what your attitude is towards Monday, and I'm really not sure what your availability is emotionally, spiritually, to allow God to be at work with you. But I think that's a big part of the equation. Our third question, this is, what is our routine? Or more accurately, why is our routine? I need to see, I've grown up in the Midwest. I love being by a body of water. And through the years, I've realized that part of it is I just love to see the horizon. If I'm in a place, if I'm in the mountains, if I'm in the woods, those things, like, I can feel a little bit of I'm unsettled. Versus, and one of my favorite experiences, being in the woods and then you move into, like, there's a big lake to see the horizon. There's something about being able to see the direction that I'm going. And for us as believers, and I hope this morning to do that a little bit, to remind us of, hey, what is on the horizon for us? We might not know all the steps along the way, but sometimes for me, if I can get a good grasp on what it is, the direction I'm going, and it sure helps with the steps that I got to take today. And I think Paul does this for us in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, I'll read this passage, 2 verses 1 through 10. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, and when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the spiritual course in a nutshell. That God, through his love, reached out to us, and that our response is to fulfill what it was designed to do, what we were designed to do in Genesis 2, was to be God's handiwork that God had prepared for us in advance to do. This culminating understanding for us is put stuff in perspective. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if what you're doing now in work, what's important, whatever your Monday is. but this idea that you are made to do it. I want to close by showing this video. This was a video that was done up at Taylor a little over a decade ago, and it's one of my favorite videos. It's narrated by Jay Kessler. Some of you may know Jay. He's had a big impact on my life and our campus community. But this was done, and to go back to what Lisa said, this idea of for a conference where the theme was cultivating wisdom. As I watch this video probably once every 6 months, and it reminds me, it's woven in a little bit of like choruses from the rock. It's woven in scripture, and this idea with some Jay's voice is moving for me. But it reminds me of my purpose at being a part of a bigger equation. It reminds me of my purpose and calling to cultivate that's in front of me. And it's different growing up in an information age. I'm not a farmer. I don't know if you are. But this video makes me think about what it is I'm doing and what's the purpose for me to be doing it, to be stuck in this process. So if we could play that video for a minute, please.
We live in a world of spring and autumn, birth and dying, the endless cycle of idea and action, endless invention, endless experiment. This world brings knowledge of motion, but not of stillness. Knowledge of speech, but not of silence. Knowledge of words and ignorance of the word. All our knowledge brings us nearer to our ignorance. All our ignorance brings us nearer to death. But nearness to death, no nearer to God. The industrial age has separated man from meaning. In the agricultural age, man plants seeds. Seeds grow. He watches the sun, the rain, the moon, the seasons. He's tied to creation. The industrial age separates him. Agrarian man understands being far better than industrial man. Where is the life we've lost in living? Where is the wisdom we've lost in knowledge? Where's the knowledge we've lost in information? Cycles of heaven in 20 centuries have only brought us farther from God and nearer to the dust. Is this our lot? Why do we not call out heavenward? What keeps our ears closed to our Father's instruction? What have we lost? What are we losing? What can be saved? Our humanity, our personhood, our connection to the Creator. Everyone can't have a farm. Can't be tied to creation in the way the farmer is, but we can all be about cultivation. Everyone can experience the joy of nurturing life from beginning to end. We can all plant seeds. We can all attend to and care for life. We can all give ourselves to growth. We can all prepare for and rejoice at the harvest. We all deal with weather, conflicting autonomies. We farmers, we understand our garden. I enjoy the garden. It was given to man to enjoy. To me, the whole message is in nature. A Christian ecology puts the farmer in the equation. He is to be a steward, God's representative on earth. He is made in the image of God. Part of this thing is caring for the garden, his garden. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you. Where is the life we've lost in living? Where is the wisdom we've lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we've lost in information? The cycles of heaven in 20 centuries have only brought us further from God and nearer to the dust.
We can all be about cultivation. Everyone can experience the joy of nurturing life from beginning to end. We can all plant seeds. We can all tend to and care for life. We can all give ourselves to growth. We can all prepare for and rejoice at the harvest. A Christian ecology puts the farmer in the equation. I don't know the garden that you've been asked to care for. But I do know it's why we're made. So as you leave this morning and move on, I hope you think about your own attitude about it. I hope you remember that God is with you. And I hope you keep the big picture of honoring Christ in your life in such a way that maybe that's seen. If you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we're grateful. We're grateful to come together and worship. We're grateful for your word. Lord, we are grateful to have our perspective changed and challenged in a way, assuming that it brings us closer to you and the way you want us to walk. Lord, we pray for so many things that people care about in this room. They're so different. Give us wisdom, give us courage, and give us discernment as we move forward into those things in the week ahead. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Hey, thank you guys. God bless you. Please get outside and enjoy some of that nice weather today. Alrighty. Thanks for having me.